Mystery Front, presented by the United States government, brings you Second Husband. Columbia Broadcasting System, in cooperation with the United States government, has the pleasure of bringing its listeners a new series of programs, a different kind of series. During these programs, the people many of us know and love, people we meet every day on the radio, have volunteered their services to the government, and they're going to visit here at the same time each weekday on the Victory Front. Now, speaking for the United States government, here is Carl Van Doren.
Second Husband is featured on this week's presentation of the Victory Front. Among the people known to millions of Americans, loved and admired by them, are those you meet every day in the story of Second Husband. Brenda Cummings and her friends have been doing all they can on the home front to help our boys on the fighting fronts. Faced with the same intimate problems you face every day, they understand that we cannot win the war or the peace unless we understand what we are fighting for, unless we understand that we must know and have faith in our allies, unless we understand that we must remain united to win. And now, Second Husband.
Second Husband. We bring you now the story of beautiful Brenda Cummings, who was a young widow with two children living in Montana until she married wealthy, distinguished Grant Cummings and went to New York, where their son was born, where Grant lost his fortune, and where Brenda became a famous actress. But now, Brenda's life and Grant's are profoundly changed by the war. On dimly lit Broadway, Brenda is starring in a successful New York play, and Grant is now Lieutenant Commander Cummings aboard a submarine somewhere in the dark waters of the Atlantic. As millions of others, these two who love each other are separated. Tonight, Brenda is in her theater dressing room, and with her is her loved old guardian, Ben Porter. It's Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, 1942. Brenda's lovely face is reflected in the mirror, but Ben is leaning toward her anxiously as she says,
"Oh, Ben, 15 minutes before the curtain goes up, and it means so much to me to be at my best tonight."
"Oh, Brenda, gal, I've never known you not to play your best."
"Yes, but tonight is Christmas Eve, Ben. Christmas Eve. Oh, I'm not worthy of Grant if I can't be as brave as a wife should be when her husband is not with her for Christmas."
"Oh, honey, you're doing just fine."
"Oh, no. No, I'm not, Ben. Grant's on a submarine. He's out on the cold, bitter, deadly Atlantic. Oh, but I gather courage, Ben, in knowing that other women, too, all over the world are separated from the men they love tonight. And I've got to go through with tonight and tomorrow, Christmas Day, with the sort of faith and courage I imagine an English woman would show, or a Russian woman. And I know that we Americans can equal any of them."
"You bet we can, honey girl. Say, we Americans have got plenty of what it takes. We built this country the hard way. Now, don't forget that."
"No, I'm not forgetting it, Ben. I'm not. Yes."
"Mrs. Cummings, some flowers for you."
"Oh, thank you, Jerry."
"It's all right, I'll get them."
"All right, thank you, Ben, will you?"
"They arrived just this second."
"Oh, well, that's fine, and thanks for bringing them, Jerry. Say, would you look at the size of this box, Brenda?"
"Now, who in the world could have sent such a thrilling-looking box?"
"I wonder."
"Oh. Open it." "Yeah." "Oh, Ben, look at these flowers."
"Yeah."
"All of my favorites. Oh, such beautiful things."
And there's your card."
Yes, Ben. Oh, look here. Look here. They're from Grant, Ben."
"From Grant?"
"Yes. Oh, can you believe it? He ordered them days ago before he was sent out and arranged to have them delivered tonight. He says here, 'Darling, this is Christmas love from Grant.'"
"Oh, you see, he was thinking of you getting them tonight."
"Oh, look here. Here's a war bond tucked beside them as a gift. Oh, that sweet, wonderful darling."
"Why, Ginger, it sure is a war bond."
"How could I let a husband like this down, Ben? How could
I?" "But you've never let him down, honey."
that I've got to think tonight of all things that we've got to thank God for. Grant always said to me, don't think of me out there in a submarine alone, Brenda. There are quite a few lads just like me, only knowing a lot more right there with me. And in the Atlantic, remember, there's always the good old British Navy right in there with us.
Now, ain't that just like Grant, always? Of course, honey, one of the finest things in this war now seems to me is having the British as our allies, fighting side by side with us.
Why, Ben, you're saying
honey,
that...
I'll be honest. Now, I never understood them British, because I didn't know much about them until the war started. Now I know that the Englishman who won the Battle of Britain from Mr. Hitler, who held the Germans at bay alone for over a year, are among the greatest fighting men the world has ever known.
Ben, you know who I was just thinking of?
Who?
Of Raymond Rogers. Remember him?
Yes, yeah, sure.
He was the first and best leading man I ever had. He was English, and you loved him.
Well, I'll tell you, Brenda, I take my hat off to the British. They're soldiers, and as great an ally as any country ever had. All we got to be sure of in this country of ours is that we all understand these things about the British, the truth, and not let Hitler plant seeds of dissension and misunderstanding. For he's always up to his game of divide and conquer. And that's what he'd like to do with us in Britain, in Russia, and China. Yes, sir, he'd like to see the United Nations slit wide apart.
Yes, and that's what he'll never see, Ben.
No.
Never, because we understand his methods only too well. And, oh, goodness, these flowers from Grant. I wish he knew how happy they've made me.
Brenda, may I come in?
Oh, yes, hello there, Carol. Please do come in.
How are you, Mr. Porter?
Hello.
My, what dream flowers.
Aren't they lovely? Grant ordered them to be sent tonight before he left.
Oh, then you are the lucky one. I feel about as much of a glamorous actress tonight as an old stick.
Oh, poor darling, what do you mean by that?
Have I a fiancé whose family teased him on money bags, or haven't I?
Oh, Carol, what a way to talk about Deke. One of Uncle Sam's most handsome young first lieutenants.
Yeah, say, where is Lieutenant Walters now, Carol?
Oh, overseas somewhere. I don't know. I haven't heard a word, not one, from Deke. I haven't gotten a Christmas present. Well, not even flowers.
Well, now, Carol, possibly...
Now, don't defend him, Brenda. He's always lavished me with exciting things, and I'm furious. As far as I'm concerned, you can tie Christmas up in a neat little package and send it back to Santa Claus.
Oh, now, really, Carol, you
I
must...
I mean it, all this Christmas spirit. What does it mean? Where does it get you? It's a lot of sentimental twaddle, and I don't believe in it. Deke could have written, at least. He could have sent me something.
This is her dressing room.
Thank you.
Who's
Mrs.
that?
Mrs. Cummings. Major Rogers is here to see you.
Huh?
What? Major Rogers?
Rogers?
Brenda.
Oh! Why, Raymond, it's you.
Brenda, it's splendid to see you.
Why, this can't be true.
Well, what do you know?
Hello, Raymond, of all people.
Well, by Jove. Ben Porter and Carol Hart.
Oh,
hi,
Raymond. You just don't know how grand it is to see you. Ben and I were just speaking of you. We thought that you were, well, halfway round the world with the RAF.
And I have been. I was. I'll only be in New York a short time, but I had to stop by and see you, Brenda. It wouldn't seem like New York if I hadn't.
Oh, you're just as devastating as ever, Raymond.
Oh, Carol.
A uniform does something to a man.
Well, how's your life, Carol? Are you married?
No, I'm engaged, but my affection is at a low ebb at the moment. Christmas is getting me down.
You see, she hasn't heard from her lieutenant yet, and she's in very low spirits tonight, Raymond, and I was just about to tell her when you walked in that this Christmas Eve, above all others, is no time to be downhearted.
Right you are, Brenda.
Oh, how wonderful this is. You and Ben and Carol and I in a dressing room talking before a performance. And Raymond, for the sake of old times, you and Carol must come home with Ben and me tonight. Will you? And make it a real Christmas Eve?
Oh, I'd love to, Brenda. It'll be a lifesaver for me.
Good.
I'd like to enormously, Brenda, but the thing is...
What's that, Raymond?
I've a friend with me, a Russian officer.
Oh, but we'd love to have him, too. Of course, he must come.
Well, then, thank you very much. I know Major Chubukov will enjoy a Christmas Eve in your home as much as I shall.
Fine. Then it's settled. And we'll all meet after the performance and go home. Why, it'll be a sort of symbol for us all to be together on Christmas Eve. Britain, America, Russia, all together in a little white house in Connecticut, welcoming in Christmas, the day of peace on earth, goodwill toward men.
First act, please.
Yes.
Places.
Yes, all right. I'm being called for the first act.
First act, Mrs. Cummings, and places at once, a little later.
Yes, I'm ready. I'm coming. Oh, there's so much I want to talk to you about, Raymond.
Well, we'll have time later. Good luck for tonight,
oh,
Brenda.
Thank you, Raymond. And, oh, Raymond, dear, I must hear all about your family. Your wife, Eileen, and your darling little son, Robin. But I haven't got any more time to talk now. Goodbye for now.
What is it, Raymond? What's the matter, son? What's the matter?
My wife. My baby.
Well, what's wrong, son? What?
I simply can't tell you, Ben. I simply can't.
A silence in the room. A silence heavy with unspoken words. Ben has turned away from the dark pain in Raymond's eyes. But Ben feels that somehow his question has been answered. Listen tomorrow. You won't want to miss the emotional scene in the little white house in Connecticut in the next chapter of Second Husband. Now, once again, speaking for the United States government, here is Carl Van Doren.
The United Nations are in existence for a great deal more than the waging of the war. Their peoples must also work together in the peace ahead so as to build a better world based upon mutual consideration, understanding, and the essential freedoms. The United Nations came to being January 1st, 1942, when 28 countries signed the now famous Declaration by United Nations. In that declaration, the United Nations subscribed to the common program of purposes and principles embodied in the Atlantic Charter. The Atlantic Charter is worldwide in scope. It applies to India and China and Russia and Burma and Africa and Europe and all the Americas. The free world the United Nations are fighting for includes the four freedoms for everyone, regardless of race, color, or creed. The war has taught us that an attack on liberty anywhere in the world is an attack on liberty everywhere in the world. The war has taught us that what happens to a people anywhere in the world affects people everywhere in the world. That's why we must remain united. We must be united to win both the war and our peace. We must be united to build the new free world of the four freedoms, where there can be freedom from want and fear, freedom of religion and speech for everyone, everywhere. Alone, no nation can guarantee the benefits of the principles outlined in the Atlantic Charter. Together, the United Nations can guarantee the fruits of victory to all countries and to all peoples. You have heard the first episode of Second Husband, brought to you on the Victory Front, a new series of special programs in which the people you love in popular daytime programs are visiting you on behalf of your government. The United States government wishes to thank all who are donating their talents to score one more blow for victory, including members of the American Federation of Radio Artists. Listen tomorrow at this time for episode number 2 of Second Husband in this story about the United Nations on the Victory Front. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.